Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Hey, welcome everybody to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler, and man, I'm excited to be with you on this beautiful fall morning, calling from sunny Southern California, and I'm telling you, the weather's shaping up this weekend. I'm doing some surfing this weekend. That's all I'm saying. Got a big Halloween party or two. I'll have to tell you. You're going to see my Facebook post on my costume. It's going to rock, but I can't disclose it now because it's a surprise for the party, so... I'm just throwing that out there. But welcome all you new guests and listeners. You might be thinking, who is this nut? Why am I listening to him talk about his Halloween costume? Hey, you know, I'm just trying to keep it real. You're talking about tax and legal planning, living the American dream, helping your small business grow. And wow, have we got a great show for you today. I'm really, really excited about my guest. Eric Lofholm, you're going to hear more about him here in a moment. He will join us closer to the bottom of the hour. We're going to be going over all sorts of ways to increase the sales in your business, revenue generation, sales systems, and strategies. We even got one of his students that's going to call in. He doesn't know it yet, so she's going to get on here and tell us about some of the things she's learned from him. So we're excited about that, but this is going to be good stuff. So great show plan for you today. How many of you caught the presidential debate last night, huh? I learned a little bit more about Syria and Pakistan than I wanted to know, but oh well, that's just the way it is. So anyway, I thought it was still interesting. Boy, it'll be nice when this roller coaster ride is over. But anyway, without getting into political incorrectness or heated arguments and, you know, get everybody fired up, I'll stay off the political topic. But anyway, I wanted to share just one little note for those that checked out the newsletter this morning. I know many of you get a chance to read the newsletter in the evenings or later on, and then you click on the show, and we have thousands of people that listen to the show after the fact rather than live. We still got some great live listeners, and in fact, I want to dedicate the show to Mike Fisher out in Illinois. Mike, you're listening. I know you're listening. You're such a stud. I just wanted to say this show is for you, baby, because he calls up and makes me feel so excited and happy when he's just complimenting the show, listening in every week. He's such a great guy. And we were out in Chicago for my event a couple weeks ago, and we tried to go out and get a Chicago dog, but we couldn't break away to a location that was strategic enough next to the workshop. But anyway, a little shout-out to Mike there in Illinois. But anyway, I wanted to talk about the newsletter for a minute. I threw out a personal message, as I do every week, on the newsletter, and I talked about battle planning, strategic planning. It was a topic in my first webinar. We've got my live webinar series going on right now. The second webinar in the series is tomorrow night. It's a live webinar where folks can look at my computer screen and ask questions. We go over 12 different topics. If some of you haven't signed up for the webinar series yet, go check it out, markjkohler.com. But anyway, we were talking about strategic planning this last week, and it just really... touched me emotionally. It was a good reminder to me of how important strategic planning is. And we talked about battle plans, which is setting up a daily little checklist of the most important things to do in your business and doing them first before you get sucked into emails and all the distractions that can happen in the day. So I just wanted to throw that out. Read that in the newsletter. Hopefully it'll change your life in a big way and help your business be more successful. I'm looking forward to the feedback I get, and if anybody has a little topic or something they want me to hit when it comes to the newsletter, let me know. Okay, now for all of you regular listeners, you know what's coming next. I bring on a couple experts every week that will share a consult or personal experience they had with a client of ours, and of course we do not share the names. This is all private, of course. We respect that attorney CPA client privilege. But I'm going to bring out our first expert. He hasn't been with us for a while. He's been in the trenches with the October 15th deadline that we're still celebrating. We've got Dustin Johnson, our CPA general manager of operations. Incredible man, Dustin Johnson. Dustin, welcome to the show.
Ooh, thanks, Mark. It has been a while, huh?
Yeah, I don't know where you've been, out partying or something.
Yeah, I think that's it. I really can't remember a lot of it either.
Yeah, it's a blur. So, well, I'm just sipping my Diet Coke here, kicking back, and I'm excited to hear about, you know, your tip. Well, you know, many of you don't know, this is live and unscripted, uncut, un-FCC regulated, so you don't know what Dustin could say here. It could be fairly litigious. What do you got for us, man?
Well, perfect. We did get past our October 15th deadline, thanks to our clients that, you know, got their information to us, and we got them taken care of. I hope we are serving everybody well. But, you know, it's after the 15th. It's time to do some of that consulting. And one of the things that, you know, I've come across and talked to some people about is this, it's college tuition credits and how we're going to continue to maximize those until they're either gone or come back, depending on what happens with the political party a little bit.
Okay.
So what I wanted to talk about
it.
Was the American Opportunity Credit and what our clients can do this year to maximize that, to see, you know, if it's, well, for one, if it's going to be gone on January 1st or if it's going to be extended. But either way, we can take advantage of it for 2012.
Well, cool. This is good. And a lot of you out there that have teenage children or children out of high school applying for college, this is a big topic, the college tax credit strategy. So, okay, let's zoom in on that. I think this is good. And frankly, we could maybe even mention the IRA Coverdell and the 529 plan is some strategies. Let's just talk education planning here for 2 minutes. Now, let me just say this for all of you listeners out there that say, oh my gosh, this has nothing to do with my life. Be patient. Hang tight. Not every little strategy we cover is going to rock your world. We know that. But, you know, this is the beauty of having our experts come on the show is hitting little points that might help someone out in a dramatic way based on their particular situation. So let's talk about college planning. A lot of kids are turning in their college applications right now. We've got the fiscal cliff that's coming in January 1st. We know that a lot of these college savings, deductions, and strategies are going to be gone January 1st unless Congress and the new president gets their act together. So what do we got this year? What can we do in the next 2 months, Dustin? I just teed it up for you, baby. Just swing away.
It was beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Mark. Okay, so this American Opportunity Tax Credit allows your students or whoever's going to college for the first 4 years of post-secondary education a tax credit of up to $2,500. And what this is basically if you spend $4,000 in expenses for your student, you can receive this credit of $2,500. Now, what I wanted to talk about, and hopefully this apply to you and your college student, but if for this year, for 2012, you haven't spent up to $4,000 in education expenses for your student, you need to hit $4,000.
So wait,
you need to write a check this year.
Write a check.
Yep. You need to prepay some tuition.
There you go. So before year end, prepay some tuition. I like it. Write it. You know, if there's some expenses for college you're putting off, do it now before 12/31 if you want to get this tax credit.
Exactly.
Now, is this a refundable tax credit? Can I use this tax credit to just walk away with a check at the end of the year? How does this credit work?
Good question, Mark. Teeing it up again. No, part of this $2,500 is a refundable credit, 40% of it. So you can get up to $1,000 refunded back to you. You can get a check from the government for $1,000. The other $1,500 is only allowed if you have tax that it can offset. So, again, for some of those clients that might not pay any taxes due to exemptions or lower income, you still can get some benefit. You can get $1,000 back. You might not maximize the full $2,500, but you can still get a check from the government.
Okay. Now, this is important for everybody. So this is the one major credit. Is there any other tax credit I can get for paying for my kids? And by the way, I want to ask this too. First part is, are there any other tax credits? And number two, can I use this for myself to go back to school, or is it just for my children?
No, this is for anybody in the family. This can be mom, dad. Again, it only applies to the first 4 years of post-secondary education. So if you've already gone to college for your 4 years, you can't get the American Opportunity Credit. But if you never have and you're going back now, you can. It will apply.
Okay. And so I've up to four. So I have to write at least a check for 4,000, or it's a portion of the 4,000. So if I spend less than 4,000, then it's going to be a calculated percentage of that as my tax credit, but it's only up to $2,500.
Exactly. The $2,500 is the credit. And that's what we're talking about. That $4,000 is the amount of expenses that this credit will allow. So if you haven't spent that much, we need to prepay next year's. Get up to the $4,000 this year. If you have spent that much, then just wait till next year and spend it then.
Okay. Now, I want to throw out a little tip here, too. Dustin, is that cool? Anything else you want to say? Because I want to talk about this education and throw out another tip, and then you can throw it down with any final comment. Is that all right?
No, perfect. Go for it.
Okay. So here's what I just mentioned to everybody out there. Do not forget about the Coverdell IRA, which is essentially an educational IRA. And that's a great opportunity to funnel money into your kid's IRA that grows tax-free and comes out tax-free for college. And you can self-direct it. I just had a client. We formed a Coverdell IRA LLC for a client, and they're using that money to invest in equipment that is paying tax-free revenue towards their college education savings account. Now, you can put up to $2,000 in a Coverdell IRA. You don't get a tax deduction, put it in there, but it grows tax-free and comes out tax-free. So if you can do that in conjunction with this tax credit for education expenses. So you want to look at a comprehensive approach. College is so expensive nowadays. So for anybody out there, if you're paying for your own college, you can set up your own Coverdell IRA for yourself too. So you can build up money for your college education, and you can do it tax-free in a lot of different ways. There's also the 529 college savings account. I was just reading an article on one of those yesterday. I don't want to pull that out. We could talk about college education for the entire hour. So in summary, folks, if you have children, if you want to go back to college yourself, you've got to be thinking about college education tax planning, and there's some opportunities before the end of the year. So, boom, there you go. Dustin, anything else you want to add to that?
Nope, you nailed it. Again, that is comprehensive. If you want to talk about it, if you think that this is something that will apply to you, please feel free to give us a call and set up a consult. We can really tailor-make this for you and your family, your personal situation. So let's strategize.
All right. Well, Dustin Johnson, CPA, General Manager of K&E CPAs, you rock. Thanks for joining the show. Folks, if you want to consult with Dustin, he's a little more affordable than I am per hour, and he's a little more available, and the guy is awesome. So give him a call at the home office. If you're listening to the show, you know how to reach us. Kaney-CPAs.com, or go to my website. You'll get the link, and give us a call. Thanks, Dustin.
Perfect. Thank you, Mark.
All right. See ya. All right. Now we're going to jump over to our other expert for the day, and we're excited about some announcements going on in Phoenix. This is Matt Sorensen. Hasn't been on the show for a few weeks either. We love Matt. He was co-hosted the show with me on IRAs just a few weeks ago, but we haven't had him back since, so we're excited to hear what he's got for us. Matt, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Mark. It's good to be here.
Well, how's that sunny Phoenix weather? Is it just beautiful this time of year?
It's magical. As, what's her name? What Drew Barrymore would say. It's magical. Yeah,
little 80s throwback there. Got to love that.
Yeah, 70 degrees. I mean, it's mid-70s. It's beautiful.
Killer.
We've
well,
got
awesome.
Palm trees outside my office. Life's good.
You got to love it. That is awesome. Well, Matt, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out of your relaxing, sunny Phoenix weather after morning to meet with us here on the show. Glad to have you. Okay, so what do you got for us? Any little tip that might help some of our listeners today that you came across in your consulting this last week?
Yeah, I wanted to talk just briefly about series LLCs. I've had a lot more clients setting up series LLCs lately, seeing a lot more clients increasing their real estate purchases, acquiring more properties as the real estate market seems to be taking a turn. Clients starting to try and capitalize on that, and the series LLC is a great option for people acquiring numerous pieces of real estate.
Well, I think this is a great topic. And you know what? Ironically, I just had a call with a client yesterday about series LLCs, and they're a very unique structure. Let me just kind of throw out some softballs here, and let's just set the stage for everybody. Matt, why would I even consider a series LLC? If I have rental property, why would I even think about a series?
The best benefit of a series LLC is that you get a lot of asset protection for a little cost comparatively. And so obviously you can just have one regular LLC. And I have that LLC set up. Maybe I've got four or five properties. All the properties are in that LLC. And that works great in terms of protecting me personally from liabilities in the LLC. If anything happens on those four or five properties, they can sue the LLC. They can't sue me personally. But what they can do if I have four or five properties in one LLC is that they can get at all the properties. So if something goes wrong on property number one, they can sue that LLC and get at all five properties in that LLC. The series LLC changes the game a little bit on that.
Okay, I like that. And so it creates a little bit of diversity. That's a great explanation. I love listening to you just explain it. Whenever you hear something explained in a different way, I always get something out of it. I love it. So I got multiple rentals. I don't want to spend for a new LLC with every rental. The series, I can have as many rentals as I want. How's that work?
Yeah, so you could conceivably have hundreds of series within a series LLC. And how it works essentially is you set up one LLC with the state. Some people call it a master LLC. You just set up one LLC with the state. And then that series LLC you establish with the state can adopt what are called series. Now, I, for simplicity's sake, I just call it series 1, series 2, series 3. And series 1 is going to own one piece of property. Series 2 is going to own a second piece of property. Series 3 will own its own set of properties. And most states don't require you to file anything with the state when you adopt a series for a specific property. So as far as your filing requirements and paperwork and fees for lawyers and stuff, you don't have to do that every time you adopt a series. You've just got the initial series set up, and then you can move forward adopting series on your own for each property you acquire. And we'll usually, when we set it up, we'll usually set up about 10 series. So you can have, you know, at least up to 10 immediately available or that you can use shortly in the future. The nice thing about it is if I have five properties now, for example, I'm going to put property one in series one, property two in series two, and so forth. Now if something goes wrong on property number four, that tenant or creditor, whoever it may be, plaintiff, they're stuck suing that series. They can't get at the other series and the other four properties. Those are all separately treated, separate asset protection, and the only thing at risk now is that one property where the liability occurred and that separate series. So it's a huge asset protection benefit for clients who have multiple properties, particularly properties with equity. And from a fee standpoint, you don't have to go through the cost of setting up an LLC per property. That can get expensive. But it's really a great asset protection option.
Ooh, I like it. Okay, good, good. I think this is an excellent topic. There's all sorts of ancillary issues. This is a topic Matt and I have written out about in our blogs before. Now, we've gotten a question that just got emailed over to me back on, it's kind of a depreciation question that we didn't follow through on. I didn't follow through on my open forum show last week. Lisa, can you see if Dustin's available for another question on the line about depreciation? I wanted to get his take on this, see if he could get us an answer. But before we let Matt go, I had another question here that came in via text. Matt, can you use a series LLC in any state? What do we do there?
Yeah, good question. Our last check, there are 9 states that allow series LLCs. And those states are Utah, Nevada, Texas, Oklahoma, Illinois, Delaware, Iowa. There's a couple more, but there are states that do not allow a series LLC. For example, California is a state that does not have a series LLC statute. Arizona also does not have a series LLC statute. Now, there are some attorneys who take the position and say, well, I'll just set up a Nevada series LLC or a Utah series LLC, and then you go use it in California, and you're going to get that series LLC treatment in California. Well, there's not too much law written on that yet. We don't really want clients to be relying on that theory. We think it's unproven. So if you're in a state that does not have a series LLC statute yet, we're generally going to work with the existing LLCs in that state and that state's laws, not try and import, if you will, some other state's series LLC concept into that state.
Okay. All right. Excellent comment. Okay. Now, folks, we've got a couple questions that came in, and these are questions that I should have covered in the last week's. These are reminders. I've got my listeners are so awesome. They're like, Mark, you were going to cover this when you from last week's open forum, and you didn't get to it. Can you please cover it? And one of these was from Joe. I won't mention his last name here. I'm trying to just, you know, Joe. He knows who he is. He's got a question here that would be this is for Matt, because Matt, you are the expert on this. He really is. Matt just finished speaking at the RITA conference on self-directed custodians. So I'm going to throw out a question here that Joe has. There's two parts here, Matt. And then we'll get to our guest, our special guest, Eric Lofholm. We're excited to have him here in just a couple minutes. Matt, this is from Joe, and this is good for everybody here. Should you have separate self-directed IRA accounts or IRA checkbook control accounts for different investments, single family rentals, deeds, trust, notes, etc.? I am concerned if one investment goes bad or possible lawsuit, would all my funds and or investments be at risk if I had just one account? Can you talk about IRA checkbook control? Matt, what do you think?
Good question. This is on that regard, I would treat it the same way I treat any type of investments clients are holding. If you have multiple investments or multiple properties, I'd look at a series LLC. We have clients who have done if you're in a state that allows a series LLC, we've had clients do a series IRA LLC, and each series is owning separate properties. So that's one option.
Same concept. So that's good.
Similar concept we talked about. You could. It's probably more common to just maybe do two IRA LLCs, for example, or three. Sometimes with the IRAs, just because of the state issues, you know, we don't set up too many series IRA LLCs. We've had clients set up multiple IRA LLCs because they have significant assets and they want to keep the liabilities separate. And the principle is the same from what we talked about with before. You don't want to have all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. Now, there is if you have, for example, a property with only $10,000 in equity, you're not going to want to try and separate out $10,000 worth of equity between an LLC. We'll usually say keep a few properties in an LLC. Once you have maybe a couple hundred thousand of equity, let's look at separating those out amongst LLCs, whether it's an IRA LLC or a regular LLC. But you can have multiple investments in one IRA LLC. Just be careful of how much equity is in there. You might want to separate them out if that's the case, if there's lots of equity.
Okay. All right, Joe, like I just mentioned a little earlier, sometimes hearing it a different way could be enlightening, and especially for some of you listeners out there. Let me just say this. Can you put multiple investments in one IRA? Yes. Should you? It depends on risk and how much money you got. If your IRA is fairly, you know, low in value, throw a little more caution to the wind. If you got some high-risk assets, you've got four or five meth labs in that one LLC, I'm just joking here, then you may want to separate them out, multiple LLCs, I don't know. So just talk about it. I think that's a good point. Now, we've got another question for Dustin here. Wrap this up with one part question here with Joe here, and then we're going to get to our special guest. Eric's on the line. We're excited to get to him here in just a moment and to start talking about making some money here too rather than just saving money. This is good. Matt, 401k without custodian, pros and cons. That's just right out there. Joe threw this out here on his email question. This was something we didn't hit last week in the open forum. You and I have debated this as well. This is a hard one. Folks, if you don't know this out there, you can set up a 401k, be the trustee of your own 401k, set up a bank account, and just go for it. Or you can have a custodian involved acting as a third-party administrator, a TPA, and they're going to do some basic maintenance for you. A lot of times we'll set up an LLC for that 401k so that you have checkbook control. But that's a big debate out there. Matt, what do you think? Which way do you like to lean? What are the issues?
I think it's a personality thing. You know, first of all, let me say, if you have multiple employees and such, don't do this. I just get a third-party administrator or other company involved. Have them handle the plan. It can be a lot more complicated. Now, if it's just like a solo K type structure, you're the only employee, or maybe it's a husband and wife are the only employees, you may want to venture down this path as a way to save money. But again, as with all things like this, you can save money, but you're going to pay for it in time to figure out what the hell you're supposed to do. Excuse me. That didn't come out right. That was like,
That's okay.
In my head,
I know you're emotional about this. It's okay. You can swear once in a while.
But
that's a farm swear word. You're all right.
What you'll see is a lot of clients get excited about saving the money and then be just mad and frustrated about how to administer this thing and about how the IRS is so unreasonable and why do I have to do this stuff and file this stuff. And, you know, so there's some things you got to do. It's not rocket science, but figuring out for the first time can be really hard. So I just say, if you're the type of personality that likes to build your own house and, you know, do things on your own, that's kind of your style, then, you know, you might be a good fit for it. And get some help in the first couple of years, probably from some professionals about what to do, and you might be good carrying it there on out. It's not a requirement. It's certainly an option for some people, but I don't recommend it if you have multiple employees. Just the headache and burden of doing it's not going to be worth your time. You're better off putting that time forward in your business and investments and making that money and paying someone else to do it.
Okay. Well, Matt, great comment. Folks, this has been a very informative first part of our show, a typical process here for everybody, hopefully getting some extra little tips and strategies they can use in their life. Matt, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. You're awesome. We'll see you in a few weeks. And next week, where are we going to be on Friday?
You are going to be, and everyone in Arizona and anyone who wants to fly in, I mean, that'd be cool too. Open house from 11 to 2, Phoenix office. We'll be sending out more information. Obviously, contact us if you want more details. But we'd love to see you, give you some free food. And I think Kohler is going to be performing the sprinkler and maybe the cabbage patch.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll do the running man. How about that?
The running man. I like it. We're going to be rocking. That's all we're going to be doing. So if you want to hang out,
it's going to be fun. That's all I'm saying.
It's going to be good. Next Friday in Phoenix, 11 to 2 at the Phoenix office. Matt, thanks for joining us. We'll catch you later.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay. All right. Before we introduce Eric here, we've got a quick question. This will be easy, and then we're going to introduce our special guest. Join us here at the bottom of the hour. But we've got a question regarding some depreciation. Dustin, are you still on the line? Have we got you?
Yep. I'm here, Mark.
You're the man. Okay. Now, this is a quick question here that I think will be helpful for a lot of people here. It says, Dustin, if you have an investment property, a condo, that is that you are doing less than 30-day rentals. Okay, so it's a condo where I'm just doing day rentals, weekend rentals. It's not a full long term. Do I depreciate it over 39 years or 27 and a half?
Ooh.
That's a good one, right?
That is a good one.
We can save you for a little later in the show. Do you want to look that up and we'll bring you on right at the end of the show for a little grand finale?
I think that's going to have to be the case. I've not had this one, so
yeah, it's tricky.
Yeah.
Now this is good. This is similar to the hotel or a ski in ski out condo where you're just renting it out on day to day basis. Is the depreciation schedule different than a long term single family home rental that's 27 and a half years? So okay, we're gonna let you figure that out, and I know you were anxious to hear our special guest today, so you can just listen and multitask, and we'll bring you on in the last couple minutes of the show.
All righty.
All right. Well, thank you, Dustin. Hang on. Okay. Well, folks, the time has come. Every week we try to find a special high-powered, nationally recognized, best-selling author, expert, to come on our show, and we are honored today to have someone I think is going to really just wow many of us here. This is a good thing. I'm excited to take some notes. We have got. Let me introduce our special guest, Eric Lofholm. He's author of the books How to Sell in the New Economy and 21 Days to Close More Sales. He is a master sales trainer who has taught to thousands. I'm talking thousands of different groups around the country and professionals, and teaches sales systems, sales. Increasing our sales, lead generation, appointment setting, delivering high-quality presentation, everything that we need to know as business owners. He and his wife and two children live in Rockland, California. We're excited to have Eric as part of our show, and want to just say, give a big welcome. Eric, thanks for being here.
Mark, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Well, you bet. And I know how busy you are. This was just... such an honor to have you here, and thank you. Thank you for finding a half hour here or so to be with our listeners from around the country.
Yeah, I love doing being on calls like this, so we'll have some fun today.
There we go. Well, you know, Eric, I guess the first question that has that I think many of our listeners would ask is, how in the heck did you get into sales? Like, why did you wake up when you were a 12-year-old one day and say, you know what, I can't wait to be a sales trainer someday? How did this happen?
Yeah, you know, I think for anybody listening right now that sales is a component of what you do in your business, you know, we never thought back when we were in high school, you know, someday I'm going to wake up and be in sales, especially the way our culture is. There's a stigma around sales in our culture. And I ended up drifting into sales, never had any intention of going into it, and I went to work for a multimillionaire real estate investor. And it was kind of like the show The Apprentice with Donald Trump. And I went to work for this guy in my early 20s. And when I got there, he said, what you're going to do for me is sales. And so that's how I got my start in sales. I was the bottom producer at the company my entire first year that I worked there. I missed my quota 2 months in a row at the end of my first year. And I started looking for answers, and I was met a sales mentor, a guy that professionally trained me. And so that's just a brief background of how I got into sales.
Oh, okay, all right. And but you didn't. It sounds like you didn't do too well the first year. What changed? I mean, how did you go from? But listeners, I don't need to tell you, all my followers here listening. This personal history story. I'm not throwing softballs out there. I don't know the answers to this. I was interested to hear how Eric, you became such an expert in this because it sounds like you had a rocky start.
I did have a rocky start, and I'm not a born sales superstar, and some people are born with the gift of selling, which is a wonderful for them. It wasn't what was true for me because I banged my head against the wall that entire first year. When I made a sale, I didn't know why. When I didn't make a sale, I didn't know why, and they threatened me with my job and said, look, you know, figure it out or we're going to let you go. And a lucky thing happened, or maybe it was destiny, I don't know, but the top sales mind on the planet, a guy named Dr. Donald Moyne, who's best-selling author, Unlimited Selling Power, Ultimate Selling Power, Modern Persuasion Strategies, he spent his entire lifetime studying what separates sales superstars from average salespeople, and he cracked the code, he developed a system for selling, and he took me under his wing, and he began to mentor and coach me. And so when I was getting coached by this brilliant, brilliant sales guy, I picked it up real quick, and within 60 days of meeting him, I became the top producer in my company.
Okay, now this is good. And now I want to dispel some rumors here, because some of you listening here may be thinking, well, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not out selling a product, knocking on doors, or I'm just doing real estate deals, or my business is just on the web, and or this or that. But reality, to me, I think sales affects every business owner, because you're selling something. You're trying to bring money in. I mean, wouldn't you argue that you're topic here affects every small business owner to some degree, Eric, right?
Well, it even goes beyond business owners, because what selling is communication. So if you have children and you communicate with your children, then you're using sales and influence skills. If you're married or you have a significant other, if you're single and you're looking for that special somebody, okay, if you have employees, you know, I have employees that work for me. I have contractors that work for me. I have vendors that I work with. I have clients. And so we're talking about how we communicate with other people in a way where what I teach is benefit-driven communication that influences people to do what we want for their reasons. So it's elegant influence, and this is a critical skill set if you want to become great in business.
Yeah. No, I love the way you made it even broader than I suspected, and you're right. We're constantly selling every day our personality amongst our friends, our family, our relationships. We're selling something, I guess, and in business, this is a trick, because I think I talked about this on a webinar just this last week, that all of us are business owners first, and in some ways we're salesmen first, because we've got to be able to sell our product or service. Now, in your books, you help the small business owner get over that hump. I guess one of the first questions I have is, how much does confidence play in this? Even before you talk about sales techniques and systems, is it hard for you to turn the average Joe into a salesman? Do you have to have that intrinsic confidence and charisma, or can you work with any Joe Schmo? Could you make a CPA a salesman? Could you work with me here? I mean, where do you draw the line? You're like, Mark, they're unhelpable. I can't do it. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story about a client of mine down in Southern California. He's a photographer and a videographer. His name is Scott, and most resistant client I've ever had to selling, didn't view himself as a salesperson, small business owner, and he was doing photography and video work for real estate agents. And so the market down there, you know, lots and lots of real estate agents when the market was great, and then the market tanks, and his business dried up, and he's like, I need an emergency coaching session. And I said, okay, well, what's up? He goes, Eric, I'm about to lose my photography studio unless I can make sales. And this was a guy that was the most resistant client I've ever had to sales before. And I turned him around, and it's been 2 years since I coached him. He still has a studio, and he understands how to do sales. So my methods work for anybody. And what happens is the techniques and the strategy actually come before the confidence. Because the lack of confidence, it shows up when we don't know what to say, especially when it comes to how do we ask for the money at the end. If you don't know exactly what to say, when to say it, how to say it, in the back of your mind, if you're uncomfortable with sales, you're thinking, well, shoot, in the presentation, Mark, you're in the body of the presentation, you're like, I'm getting closer to the close. Uh-oh, I've got to ask for the money. I'm getting closer. It's like, oh, no, I'm in the close. I don't know what to say. And so we don't want to be doing improv, using a comedy expression, in the close. We want to know what we're going to say. And so when you're confident and professionally trained, the confidence comes from that training of knowing exactly what to do. And I've developed what I think is the most powerful step-by-step system on the planet that professionally trains people.
You know, that's interesting. You know, I don't mean to be a cheese ball here, but I actually got chills when you were saying that, because – I thought for sure you were going to say, well, you've got to be rah, rah, rah. You've got to feel confident in yourself. And then I do all these, you know, step one, step two, step three of believing in yourself, looking in the mirror, you can sell, you know. I envisioned you saying that, and I was a little surprised when you said, no, no, no. You got to learn the systems first, and that's what gives you confidence, because you're scripted in a sense. You know what to say. You're not afraid because you've got some tools, and then the confidence comes. I totally did not expect you to say that. Huh. I'm dumbfounded here. I don't know what to say. Eric, where do we go next? How do I learn these?
What you do is you deliver a benefit-driven presentation. I mean, here's something that I'll say to people. I'll say, would you agree with me that you need to be on your A game in this economy? And they'll go, okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
well, would you also agree it's possible that the economy is going to get worse? Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the presidential debate last night, so I'll go with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you need to be on your A game in this economy, then if the economy gets worse, you really need to be on your A game. And then I'll follow that with, do you know exactly what to say to get somebody to buy from you? And if the prospect says no to me, I've almost closed the sale to my program, because what I've done is I've communicated with them in a way to get them to wake up and go, I've got to step up my game. And this is the power of knowing what to say. Now, I wasn't born with this. As I mentioned, I was the bottom producer my entire first year. I didn't know how to deliver an effective presentation. I didn't know any of these skills, and I happened to get trained by this guy, Donald Moyne, who spent a lifetime doing it. And so I'll give you just a couple of concepts that can be helpful for all of you.
Okay.
So I teach, in my system, it's called the sales mountain. And one of the most important words in selling is the word sequence. And sequence is the order that the presentation goes in. So you all want to think about your next presentation. Before you go in and talk to the client, you want to think, well, what are the key points that I want to cover, and what's the order that I'm going to cover them in? And if you can do an effective job of preparing the key points and the sequence, you're 50% or more to delivering a highly effective presentation. And one golden nugget, and I'll turn it back over to you for anything else that you want us to go over today. One golden nugget for all of you is that the first thing that you do in the sequence when you lead off your very next presentation is you lead it off with trust and rapport. And the reason we do this is because your prospect, whether you view yourself as a salesperson or not, when you offer to meet with your client, potential client, or you offer a consult or whatever you do in your sales process, and you're offering to meet with them, let's say for free, like I do free consult with somebody, they know I'm going to sell them something. So the client walks in oftentimes to the presentation with resistance, because they have a negative view of salespeople. So if I'm going to try and influence you, Mark, and you walk into the presentation with me with resistance, I've got to undo that resistance first. And so the way I do that is by building trust and rapport. So the takeaway from what I'm teaching all of you right now is you want to have a strategy of how you're going to go in and build trust and rapport with the prospect. And I do this every single presentation that I deliver. And some of you are walking into your presentation and you're skipping that step, and it's like you're playing catch-up the whole rest of the presentation.
Okay, I like it. Now, you know what kind of struck me is I was thinking of what I do with, let's say, a tax return. A tax return, the numbers have to be plugged into certain boxes, and it has to add up, and da-da-da-da-da. In a sales process, I was really struck with what you said, the word sequence, that a sales process has to follow a sequence or you're not going to get a sale. It's kind of like in a tax return. It's got to add up, or you can't submit the tax return. So that's really interesting in that sequence. I like that word.
Here's the thing, Mark. If you don't know the sequence, which I didn't when I first got started, and so I was missing steps, or if I had the steps, I had them in the wrong order. It's kind of like baking a cake and it asks for a cracked egg. And so you bake the cake, you pull it out of the oven, and then you get the egg, and you crack the egg, and you put it on top of the already baked cake. And you're like, I put the egg in. Yeah, but it was in the wrong order. And so you need to know what are all the steps. So after we build trust and rapport, a simple takeaway for all of you is here's the way I sell. I state what the purpose of the appointment is. So today during our consultation, I'm going to ask you a series of questions to understand where you're at with your business. I'm going to then share with you some ideas on how you can increase your sales. And then at the very end of our time together, I'm going to introduce a program to you that I believe can help you get you professionally trained in sales. And so I'll state, this is what we're going to cover in the presentation. So they're not surprised at the end when I close, I ask for the order. And then I'm going to ask them a series of questions to identify what their needs are. And you must take them through, when you're doing one-on-one sales, through a needs analysis process, because the satisfied man doesn't buy. And so if you skip finding a want, need, or problem that the prospect has, you go right into features and benefits, you're probably going to miss the mark. And so what I'm talking about right now are specific steps in the process, understanding what those steps are, understanding the proper sequence to put them in, and millions and millions and millions of people are out selling every single day. They've never been trained in this. They're banging their head against the wall in this tough economy wondering why it's not working, and they've never been trained on what to do.
I love it. Very, very interesting. Now, I've got a little twist here in today's radio show that you, Eric, I don't know if you expect is coming, so I'm kind of excited for this. We actually tracked down one of your students because you teach these courses. I know you've got some online courses. I definitely want you to give out your website here and your contact info, because I know many of my listeners are going to want to reach out to you and get some training. I know you have some affordable training, this and that. Well, we tracked down a student of yours, and she's on the line, and I was kind of excited to hear what she learned from your class, and I know she's got a question for you, so this is exciting. She can throw out maybe a little something, and are you okay with that, Eric? Do you mind?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, now her name's Marcel. We're excited to have her on the line. So let me bring her out. And Marcel, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Well, awesome. Okay, glad you're here. So, Marcel, how was your training with Eric? Did you feel like I know I haven't done this on a radio show before, so this kind of sounds weird. I'm putting my guest here on the spot here too, but how did you think you became a better salesperson? I know you were so excited when you heard Eric was coming on the show. You're like, Mark, he's the best. So I was like, really? Well, I want you to come on the show and tell us. I mean, why was it so cool? What did you learn?
Yes, absolutely, Mark. He is amazing. And thank you, Eric, for the program I went through. I'm so thrilled, because before I took this program, I was one of those really friendly, pretty faces who could connect people and basically pass off, you know, an opportunity to my business partner to close it. And I basically was getting mixed results with that, you know, some great months, some weak months. And I wanted consistent results. I wanted to know how to close. And once I met Eric, I was thrilled and blown away. And I've now gone through his Silver Protégé program, and I'm certified in that. I'm totally pumped. More than anything, I have the confidence to move forward, to kind of recraft my scripts, to get really clear on what I want to do with that. So it's the confidence, like you guys were talking about before, that is so valuable to me, because now I just feel like in any economy I can sell, and that is so great.
Well, wow, Eric, that's got to make you feel good, Eric, hearing someone feel so passionate about what you taught. I mean,
absolutely. Now, Marcel, I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Okay.
And this wasn't planned, because I didn't know she was going to be on the call, and she didn't know I was going to put her on the spot. So,
okay.
Marcel, here's the challenge for you. Do your best with this. I want to hear the sequence. What I teach is called the sales mountain. I want to hear the sequence of the sales mountain in order. Can you do that?
Well, I have it in front of me, so I might peek, but I think I can.
Oh, no, she's cheating. This is totally ridiculous. Okay, Marcel, you got to walk away, Marcel.
Okay.
You got to do this from memory. No cheating. No
I'm
cheating. Let's
look.
See if you remember what you got.
Okay, so lead generation, which is super easy for me. You know, trust and rapport, identify their needs. I want to say overcome objections. And then the close, I think I got that one backwards. Go for the close, and then you set up your referral, and you qualify. I think I got nervous on the spot, you guys.
Okay,
oh,
so what I want you to do.
Hey, I bet you she's looking now. She's feeling it. All right.
What happened there, we put Marcel on the spot.
So I know.
She had most of it down. So it starts off with lead. I'll just go through it real quick. Lead generation, and then the next step is appointment setting, and then it's trust and rapport, identify customer needs, share the benefits, close, objection handling, and then follow up. And the two wild cards are referrals and qualify. And the reason I bring all that up is that when you go through our program, we train you step by step on each step. And what I'm a big believer in is, and this is for all of you, for no matter what business you're in, you look at your sales process and you break it down into individual steps, and then you work on each individual step to ultimately optimize that step, optimize lead gen, optimize appointment setting, optimize closing. And when you break down sales in this way, it makes sales doable. And one of the things I'm most proud about with Marcel is that when she started working with me, she didn't view herself as a salesperson. She heavily resisted sales, yet sales was an important part of her business. And so she's getting professionally trained. The skill set's being transferred over to her, and she's going to have those skills for the rest of her life, and it's going to make her, I mean, literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in additional income by knowing exactly what to do.
I love it. Well, I've got some other questions that came in here via email, and I've got some myself. This is I love this topic. I love it. So I want to just say, Marcel, thank you so much for coming on, Marcel, and I kind of throwing that down. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. That was fun.
All right, Marcel. Thanks for playing along.
That was awesome. All right, I've got to maybe let my guests know that's going to happen. But luckily, we had a fan. You know, I would never bring on someone, you know, that was upset about something. That was good. So, well, so Eric, let me ask this. This is a topic that you've talked about in your books, and this is I got an email about this, and the caller just wrote in and said, "Can you talk about fear? Is fear a good motivator to close a sale?"
Well, I'll answer it like this. The way you're asking the question, it sounds like maybe there's a fear about, man, I've got to make some money to pay my mortgage. And so you walk into this presentation with fear. So in that context, what I would say, if that's what the question's intending, is I'd say, well, put that to the side. And when you go and meet with the prospect, you just put whatever's going on in your personal life to the side, and you deliver a high-quality, benefit-driven presentation with a clear call to action. Now, fear can be a great motivator in that if you're like what I was saying earlier, do you need to be on your A-game in this economy? Yes. Is it possible the economy is going to get worse? Yes. Well, if you need to be on your A-game now, you really need to be on your A-game. I'm fearful of where the economy may go, and the reason I am is in 2008, I wasn't prepared for it. And I almost went out of business because I wasn't ready for the shift that happened in the world. And so that fear of not being ready as the economy shifts motivates me. I'm cranking hard right now on my systems. So no matter what happens in the economy, I'm set up to win. And so I think that that kind of fear is a healthy motivator for us to be prepared for whatever the future brings us.
Okay, I like it. Now let's do the flip side too. When you're in your sales process, that can you cause a buyer to be more likely to buy by using fear? Do you like to use fear with potential buyers, or do you stay away from that?
Well, you want to understand what the triggers are that motivate people to take action. And okay. There's the benefits of your product, and then there's the consequences of not taking action. And you want to be clear with somebody. Look, here's one of my closes, and you guys can use this if you like it. At the end of my presentation, I say, whether you sign up for my program or not, you pay either way. There's a cost. There's also a cost to not being professionally trained, and that could cost you a lot more than the small investment in my program. And so I'm pointing out to them there are real consequences. And that's true for many of you when you're selling your products and services. If you're in the health and wellness field, for example, you know, you need to point out to people that if you don't change your ways now, you're going to run into major health challenges in the future. And I think that's a healthy thing to point out to people that, you know, this is where it's coming. You can ignore me, but you can't avoid what's coming in the future.
Okay. No, that's a really good point. I like the consequence. So instead of using the word fear, and I bring that up, I like that it was brought up because out in the asset protection or tax world, there's a lot of counterparts of mine that use fear to motivate people to buy scams. You know, and really, it can be used inappropriately. But I like the way how you did it in a softer approach. By saying, hey, there's consequences. There doesn't need to be any fear here. Let's just talk about it. Either you use this or you don't, and here's the consequences. And it sounds a lot more authentic to me, the way
I think that it's okay. It's not so much the technique. It's what do you plan on delivering? Because what a lot of people do is they've got this, you know, very well thought out sales presentation that influences somebody to buy, and they're selling an empty promise. And so if they're really going to deliver the goods, I'm not so concerned. You know, we need to be honest and ethical in the presentation. But whether using fear or not, it has more to do with what's your intention once you've acquired the client and how are you going to service them. And when we have good intentions and we're delivering real value to people, you know, I think it's fine to get them really connected to, you know, I use the word consequences. I'm not using the word fear. But, you know, you could make the argument it's the same thing. It's just making people aware that, you know, whether you sign up or not, there is an impact. And, you know, and then if we're doing good, honest business and really delivering the value on the back end, that's what's going to make our businesses sing.
Okay. Now, I've got another question here that came via email. Scripting. and this, I'm going to paraphrase this listener's question about make it a little more understandable here. But basically, she's asking, do I have to, I feel like scripting turns away sales because it's too rehearsed. What do you mean by using scripting when you're talking about sales?
Yeah, the person asking that question, it's just that scripting has never been explained to them. And scripting is one of the most misunderstood topics out there. So the definition of a script is words in sequence that have meaning. What that means is you're either talking and making sense or you're speaking in gibberish. And none of us speak in gibberish. Gibberish is just random words. So we all talk and we make sense. Based on the fact that we talk and make sense, we're all using scripts all the time. So, Mark, if you go in your next presentation, you don't plan it out, no thought in advance, and you just go and wing it, based on the definition of a script, it's a script. And so there's no reason to resist scripting, because whether you resist it or not, you're using scripts anyways. And so it's a conversation around preparation. Now, I don't want you to go in canned, mechanical, inauthentic. I want you to go in and become the script. Go in with a well-thought-out presentation. Know what you're going to say, when you're going to say it, how you're going to say it, why you're going to say it, and be present with the prospect. And when you know what you're going to say, it actually frees you up to be present, because you're not searching in your head for the words. You're actually with the prospect, being present with them.
Man, that's good. I like that. If I had to rephrase it, we're all scripted. It's just, are you preparing and using a better script than you did before?
Exactly.
I like that. Now, now before, I'm going to ask you here in a couple minutes to give us your tip, like the most cool, like, Mark, whenever I have a group, I got to give them this tip. And I think it's the awesomest tip. I'd like it, if you don't mind, finish with a little something here. But
okay.
Before you do that, can you tell us how people can get a hold of you? Like, if they'd like some training that's extended from personal coaching all the way down to just maybe some online support that could be affordable, what are some options and how do people get a hold of you? Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, so I think that the easiest thing, I've got some great free training that I'd like to offer to anybody listening, and just shoot me an email. It's my name, Eric, E-R-I-C, at ericlofholm.com. So E-R-I-C at E-R-I-C. L-O-F-H-O-L-M, like Mary.com, and just put Mark Kohler's name in the subject line, and then that'll tell me to send you some great free training. You can do some training over the internet on your computer from the comfort of your own home and get connected to how I can help you. I've got over an hour of fantastic free training resources to offer you. We provide professional sales training for as little as $299. I'm not going to get into all the details of it, but what I can tell you is if you're interested at all, start off with some free training. You'll love it, and then we can get you professionally trained beyond there. My main website is saleschampion.com. We've been in business for just coming up now on 14 years, helping people all over the world make more sales.
Oh, cool. I love it. Thank you so, so much for the offer for our listeners. I appreciate that. And I've got your books, and I'm excited about maybe engaging you to come and do some training with our staff and our team. I'm so excited about this. So I'm a little selfish right now and being self-centered because I think this is something that I could use and my team could use better. Let me ask now, you got just about a minute. We got to get Dustin on here to give us our little tax answer here. So what do you think? What tip would you give everybody? What would you like to share?
Number one way to grow a business in this economy or any economy is collaboration. So do what Starbucks did. Starbucks went and found Barnes & Noble and Target and airports, and they collaborated to become more successful. So as small business owners, we can find people where we can collaborate. So Mark and I are collaborating. He's bringing me on his radio show. I'm going to be looking for ways to make connections for Mark. And so we're helping each other. We're in non-competing industries, and we can support each other to become more successful. So you just put on your thinking cap and think of who can you collaborate with. And there's certain people where it just fits like a glove, and you can – it's possible to double your business or more with a few key collaborative relationships.
I like it. Collaboration, third-party networking. I love that word. This is all good. Gosh, Eric, thank you so, so much for coming on the show. You've been fantastic. Everybody's website again, www.saleschampion.com. Send him an email with my name in the subject line. Get some free training. That's Eric, E-R-I-C, at EricLofholm, L-O-F-H-O-L-M.com. Send me an email if you have to, and I'll pass it along to him. Eric, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. We'll be talking more, I can guarantee that.
Sounds great.
All right. Now, in our last 2 seconds here, I want to get Dustin back out on the line. Dustin, how do we depreciate a condo or a residential property that's in the short-term daily rentals? What do you do?
You depreciate it over 39 years. It's not considered residential, so unfortunately, you don't get the 27 and a half years.
You're amazing. 39 years. Thanks for that bad news.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. Good show.
Thank you. Good stuff. Well, everybody, thank you for listening to another hour of the Mark Kohler Show.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.